Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find 30-minute Bible videos on a host of Bible subjects, and you will find a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you see the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. In our radio program, we have been discussing the deity and the humanity of Christ. Thus far, we looked at the claims that Jesus made for himself, and also we've looked at the fulfilled prophecies that also give evidence of his deity. Today, we want to look at the testimony of the Apostle John and see what his testimony says concerning the fact of the deity of Jesus Christ, of him being the Son of God. We begin this morning with a reading of John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's John 1, verses 1 through 4. Now, what affirmations does John make in the beginning of his gospel? The preexistence of Jesus. The Jesus of John's gospel existed prior to him coming to the earth. This goes back to the very beginning of time, before time. That shows eternal existence. Shared communication with the Father. He also was with God, imitating the closest communication between him and the Father. From all eternity, the Word has been with God as a fellow, read Zechariah 13, verse 7, enjoying communion with him and joint participation. The deity of Jesus. The Word was God. Through the Word, it is distinguishable from the Father. He is also God and part of the Godhead. The Word is creator, not a creature, not a created being. A vast chasm distinguishes the Word from creation. He is the creator of everything that has been made. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 confirm that truth. Also, there is a description given of him in Hebrews 1 and verse number 3. And we want to read that. So that confirms what we're reading in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, he had previous existence with God. And we also see in the first chapter of the Hebrew letter, in verses 1 through 3, God, who at various times and in various ways spoken to the past to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand on the majesty on high. Again, these passages clearly distinguish him as being with God and with the Father and being God, not a created being. In him was life. A characteristic of God is that the Father has life in himself. John 5, verse 26. The Word has life in himself. Jesus made that statement, and John affirms it in verse 3. He is the life of all men. He claimed to be the resurrection of life in John 11, as we studied last week. He also has eternal life. In 1 John 5, verse 20, the Apostle John confirms that again. Miracles from his own inherent power, not by the Holy Spirit, as prophets and fossils had, and we will look at that part of the equation later on. The Word became flesh in John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. No less than the Word himself became flesh, deity took on upon himself a human body. His glory shined through the veil of his body, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. That means one of a kind. The only begotten means one of a kind, never to be duplicated again. The Word revealed God to us. Because of his eternal association with the Father, the Word can reveal him to us. Through though mere men had never beheld God or seen God at any time, the Word revealed him to us. John 14, verse 9. When Thomas said, "Show us the Father, and it will suffice for us," he asked Thomas, "Have I been with you so long, Thomas, that you don't understand? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." What did he mean? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the essence of deity. You've been as close to deity as you will ever get when you saw the Son. The opening of John's Gospel emphasizes the deity of the Word. The Word did not cease to be deity when he became flesh. He retained his glory, for he was perceived by man. What is the thrust of John's Gospel? Listen to his own words in his other epistle in 1 John 1, verses 1 through 3. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ," 1 John 1 and verse number 3. Throughout the pages of the Gospel of John, he emphasizes his relationship with God and the theme of why he wrote his letter. Let's also read in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. "And truly did Jesus many other signs in the presence of his disciples, but these are not, that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life in his name." You see, these things were written so that we might believe that he is Jesus the Christ. He was the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And believing those facts, we may have life, eternal life, in his name. And then at the last verse in his gospel, in John 21, verse 25, he says, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, that we know that his testimony is true. And there are many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." You see, John gave testimony in his gospel that he was the Son of God. In John 1, verse 29, John wrote, "The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" You see, the Lamb of God. Now also notice what John wrote later on in this chapter in verse 32. "And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon him.'" Talking about his baptism, in we have recorded in Matthew chapter 3 in verse 16 and 17. "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God.'" In verse 36, Jesus walked and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now again, this is all evidence that John gives in his gospel that Jesus is the Son of God. He said in John 3:16, a passage that we're all very familiar with, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, and he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, notice the Son of God. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's in John 4, verse 24. And Jesus at the woman at the well told the woman at the well. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Again, John gives witness and testimony that Jesus is the Son of God. And he continued throughout his gospel to give evidence that Jesus is the Son of God in John chapter 3 and verse number 36 of his gospel. And he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Again, a reference to the deity of Christ. He is also present at the Mount of at the Mount of Transfiguration in John 17, where Peter, James, and John are there and witness the transfiguration of Jesus before them, where God speaks from heaven that this is the one that they should listen to. This is the one that speaks for him. And that also confers what Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 has told us. And John also confessed that many believed in him, but were not confessing because of the Pharisees in John chapter 12, verse 42, and lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They believed in him, but they did not accept him because the Jews and the hierarchy did not accept him. And in John chapter 11, he said in his writing that Jesus was a good shepherd. In John chapter 10, he said he was a door to the sheepfold and that he gave his life for the sheep. In John 15, John wrote that Jesus was the vine and that they were the branches. And unless you were attached to the true vine, we could do nothing. In John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he claimed that Jesus, in his conversation with them prior to his arrest, that he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would guide them to all truth. The Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, but it would have never came unless Jesus ascended back to the Father. For when he ascended back to the Father, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, that would guide them into all truth. And he kept that promise when he sent the Spirit back after his ascension back to heaven in Acts 1, 9 through 11. So John's testimony is compelling. It's filled with reference after reference to his relationship with his Father, to statement after statement made by men who witnessed his works and men who heard his teaching and men that heard the claims that he made that he was the Son of God. And that's why John wrote his gospel, that men might believe that he is the Son of God, and believing that, they might have life in his name. Again, the claims of the Apostle John, an eyewitness of his resurrection, and an eyewitness of the miracles and the claims that he made, that he recorded, is compelling evidence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, deity